69, Narada visits Krishna's palaces, text number, 44. Evam manushya padavi manuvartamano. Evam manushya padavim manuvartamano. Narayano kila babaya grihita shakti. Vaiminga shodasa sahasara parangananam. Shodasha sahasa varangananam. Sabrida sori dani rikshanaha sajushtaha. Sabrida sori dani rikshanaha sajushtaha. Evam manushya padavim manuvartamano. Narayano kila babaya grihita shakti. Vaiminga shodasa sahasra varangananam. Savrida sori dani rikshanaha sajushtaha. Manushya of human beings. Padavim, the path. Anuvrattamanaha, following. Narayana, the Supreme Lord. Narayan, Akila, of everyone. Bhavaya, for the welfare. Grihita, having manifested. Shakti, his potency. Reme, he enjoyed. Anga, my dear. King Parikshit. Shodasha, 16. Sahasra, thousand. Vara, most excellent. Angananam, of women. Savrida, shy. Sohrida, and affectionate. Nirikshana, by the glances. Hasa, and laughter. Jushtaha, satisfied. In this way, Lord Narayan imitated the ways of ordinary humans, manifesting his divine potencies for the benefit of all beings. Thus he enjoyed, dear King, in the company of his 16,000 exalted consorts, who served the Lord with their shy, affectionate glances and laughter. Text 45. Yani havishva vilayod bhavadvitti hetuhu. Karmanya nanya vishayani harischakara. Yastvanga gayati srinotya numodate va. Bhakti bhaved bhagavati hyapavarga marge. Translation: Lord Hari is the ultimate cause of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. my dear king. Anyone who chants about, maybe you can just turn this down a little bit, sort of a little bit loud. My dear king, anyone who chants about, hears about, or simply appreciates the extraordinary activities he performed in this world, which are impossible to imitate, will surely develop devotion for the Supreme Lord, the bestower of liberation. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has given various meanings for the word Ananya Vishayani. This term may indicate that the Lord performed activities in Dwarka that were unusual, even for his plenary expansions, to say nothing of others. Or the term can be understood to indicate that the Lord performed these activities for the sake of his pure, exclusive devotees. In any case, one who recites or hears accounts of these pastimes will certainly be engaged in Krishna consciousness and, as Srila Prabhupada writes, certainly find it very easy to traverse the path of liberation and taste the nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada further points out that the word anumodate here indicates that one who supports a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement will also receive the benefits mentioned here. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 69th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Muni Visits Lord Krishna's Palaces in Dwarka. That's the end of that canto of the Bhagavatam also. Or that volume of that canto. Peter, can you get the... I've got... You don't have to get it now, but after we finish class... the next volume of the Bhagavatam I've got up my office, so we can bring these ones up to my office and then we'll put the new ones in. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatripa tamaham bande Sri Guru Dinata Vinam. So what is wonderful here? Eva manushya padavim anuvartamana. Narada Muni has visited the palaces of Krishna in Dwarka and has been struck by the nature of the Lord's relationships with his devotees, especially. But not only that, the extraordinary prowess, potency of the Lord in his being able to manifest himself in 16,108 palaces. And as it's described here, it's the same Krishna in each place, in each location. Not a different Krishna, but it's the same Krishna. But he's manifesting himself 16,108 times. And Narada Muni has been given a special privilege, if you like, to see this potency of the Lord, because the other residents of Dwarka don't notice the other Krishnas when they go walking around. So Narada Muni is, but the interesting thing is here that, because that's unique. That in and of itself is unique. But what is truly wonderful is that, as it's mentioned here, evam manushya padavim anuvartamanaha. He's acting just like an ordinary person. He's acting just like an ordinary husband under the control of his wife. So this is, considering that, especially the Vedic literature, we discussed the other day, the whole purpose of the Vedic process, if you like, the Vedic, is not to enhance material prosperity or material progress, material enjoyment. That's not the purpose of the Vedic system. The Vedic system is, that's for those who are attached. Of course, and the Vedic culture incorporates or facilitates those who want to enjoy, so long as they follow the prescriptions, the guidelines for civilized life, then certainly there are provisions. But the higher principles of the Vedic culture, if you like, are to become detached from material enjoyment. And yet here's Krishna, who's supposed to be the pinnacle of all Vedic culture, the achievement, you know, Vedaischa Savairaham Eva Vedjo Vedanta Krid Veda Vid Eva Chaham. The whole purpose of studying the Vedas and the Vedanta is to know Krishna. And yet here's Krishna just behaving like an ordinary materialist. One sense. Apparently, anyway, he's just enjoying household life. So this is amazing. He's staying at home on the weekends and doing what he's told. This is wonderful. But why is he doing it? Why is he doing that? Of course, as is mentioned here, he's doing it to set an example. Actually, there's two reasons. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains two reasons. He's bestowing, and it's mentioned in the last line of this verse, of the last line of the last verse, Bhakti Bhaved Bhagavati Hiyapavarga Marge. He's actually demonstrating the path of liberation. Because whilst it appears that he's enjoying family life and so forth, he's doing it all within the construct, he's doing it all within the guidelines, within the support of the rules and regulations of the Vedic system, in the rules and regulations of the Vanashram system. And so he's demonstrating to everybody, this is the path of civilization. This is the path of perfection, if you like. That, okay, you want to enjoy your household life, but still you have to do it within the rules and regulations, which is what Krishna's doing. So he's demonstrating the path of liberation. Bhakti Bhaved Bhagavati Hiyapavarga Marge. If you follow that process, then gradually the whole Vedic system, the Varnashram system, is designed in such a way so gradually a person will be led to the point of devotional service. So that's one The word here is ananya vishayani, these unique activities. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this term can be understood in various ways. So, in one sense, we see Narada Muni is understanding. Yes, now I know why the Lord is performing these activities. He's performing these activities to set an example for others. But these activities are unique. Ananya Vishayani can mean, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoted as saying, these activities in Krishna, in terms of the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are unique. He and it's mentioned in the last verse here, Yaniha Vishva Vilayoda Bhava Vritti Hetu. Practically speaking, all of his activities are unique. There is nobody like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anadi Adi Govinda. He is the cause of everything, but he himself has no cause. Right? So he's the cause of the creation, as the Mahapurush, and the Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu and the Chira Dakshaya Vishnu. He manifests himself as the different Vishnus, who are the source of the creation. Right? This is quite amazing when you think about it. As a cloud appears in the spiritual sky, and within the water of that cloud, the Lord lies down on an antasesh and has a snooze. And then from his sleeping comes the manifestation of the whole material universe. It's not even work for him. For the different demigods creating the whole universe and everything, it is work. For Lord Vishnu, creating the material universe is just having a sleep. That's quite amazing. Everybody else who works has to work hard and stay awake. When he goes to work, he goes to sleep. In the meantime, Lakshmi is massaging his lotus feet. Yoga Nidra. Of course, that's when all of the living entities become very active in their material pursuits. Of course, for the devotees, for the sadhus and saintly persons, the activities of the materialists is like asleep, actually. They're asleep to their spiritual position. So, and of course, while he's sleeping and breathing, then the universes are manifest, they come out, and when he inhales, and they are brought back in again. Quite amazing when you think about it. And this is the Vilayod Bhavavritti Hetu. He is the destruction, the creation, and the maintenance of the whole of the universal affairs. That's quite amazing. And there are different other pastimes, which are all very attractive to the devotees, actually. All of these pastimes, the pastimes of the Lord lying down and manifesting the different universal affairs. And these pastimes, all of these pastimes are very attractive to the devotees, actually. Matchita, matkata, prana, bodhayanta, parasparam, katayantas, cha, mam, nityam, tus, yanti, cha, ramanti, cha. So the devotees enjoy hearing about all of these activities, actually. Of course, hearing about them from the right source, from the pure devotees, is very important. You know, there are a lot of people who just think of the pastimes of the Lord as just stories. These are just stories. They're not actually factual. Well, this is what they think. One shouldn't hear from such persons. One should hear strictly from devotees, Prabhupada mentions. And of course, these pastimes of the Lord have great potencies. We'll get onto that in a minute. So it's mentioned in this last verse, Yani ha vishva vilayod bhava vritti hetuhu karmani ananya vishayani hari chakara that these activities of the Lord are extraordinary. Nobody else can do these activities like Mahavishnu. Nobody else is able to do that. There's nobody in there, nobody else is described as being capable of doing these things. Yet, out of all of these extraordinary activities, these activities of the Lord, acting like an ordinary human being, are considered to be the most wonderful. Ananya Vishayani. Nobody else does these type of activities. Expands himself 16,108 times, and then what does he do? He just behaves like an ordinary person. So there's one meaning of Ananya Vishayani. Of course, what he's doing is he's demonstrating the path of it. But the other thing is, the Lord is not just bestowing liberation. Well, he is bestowing liberation, but his real purpose is not just to liberate people, but to actually give them prema bhakti, to give them love for himself. It's Lord Chaitanya's purpose is to distribute prema bhakti to everybody. And also Krishna, that's his purpose. And that's mentioned in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, actually. Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Dhamma samstapanataya sampadam yuge yuge. So anyway, here the Lord is actually giving his most intimate and pure loving devotees, his most affectionate devotees, and that is the queens of Dwarka, an opportunity to engage in loving relationships with him. Of course, in the process, he's giving liberation, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is his demonstration of his love and affection for his devotees. Even in this pastime, Krishna is showing how much love and affection he has for his devotees, because when Narada Muni comes to his palace, then what does he do? He immediately worships him. Gives him a very elevated seat, you know, washes his feet, performs arati, and glorifies. And Narada Muni is embarrassed, actually, by this behaviour. And Krishna is reciprocating with the love and affection of the queens of Dwarka. And this is confirmed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, this term, Ananya Vishayani, this term may indicate that the Lord performed activities in Dwarka that were unusual even for his plenary expansions, to say nothing of others, or the term can be understood to indicate that the Lord performed these activities for the sake of his pure, exclusive devotees. For the queens of Dwarka. So he's demonstrating his love and affection, just like, you know, the husband will demonstrate love and affection for the wife, even though she's chastising him like anything, telling him what to do. And he just laughs. Or I laugh anyway. Otherwise it's crying. You've got to laugh. But Krishna doesn't mind. He doesn't mind being bossed around by his devotees. Of course they don't, you know, because they also have love and affection and they're doing everything for Krishna. The only concern of the unalloyed pure devotees is that Krishna's pleased. So everything that the the queens of Dwarka doing is for Krishna's pleasure. And of course Krishna's doing everything for their pleasure. So in this way the pastimes of bhakti, love, are manifest. There's not an exploitative mood in these relationships. And this is extraordinarily attractive, especially for the devotees, very extraordinarily attractive and powerful also, these pastimes of the Lord, loving reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. You know, and we see examples of that where is it Rukmini gets a parijata flower, right? And then Satyabhama wants a whole tree. She's not satisfied with just having it. She wants the whole tree. So Krishna goes and gets it for her. Right? He's the supremely independent personality of Godhead. Yet he becomes controlled by the love and affection of his devotees. This is Bhaktivatsala. Krishna is known as Bhaktivatsala. The lover and supporter of his friends. And it's interesting actually, you know, we have love and affection. It's interesting, Prabhupada mentions love and affection for others is impossible to eradicate unless you're a rock or something. You know, and that means you're not alive. You're dead. But for us, love and affection, appreciation, association, in other words, you can't give it up. But if that love and affection is, and most of our love and affection is for, you know, our material relations, our mum and dad, our children, our brothers and sisters and so forth. It's based on the body, basically. Based on the physical relationships. And of course there's one problem with physical relationships. Well, not only one problem, there's quite a list of problems. Right? But basically, nasat is temporary. It does not last. Nasato vijate bhavo. And the wise understand that. Those who have seen the truth understand this principle. And Prabhupada makes the point, he makes the point that Arjuna was overcome by love and affection for his relatives. So Prabhupada says it's really impossible to get rid of this love and this feeling or this inclination for love and affection of others. But Prabhupada makes the point, when that love and affection is transferred to Krishna and Krishna's devotees and devotional service, then instead of being entangling and a cause of misery, it actually becomes the cause of liberation. So that's why the devotees like to hear even about the apparently mundane, so-called mundane, not actually super mundane, pastimes of Krishna as a householder. And if we talk here in chant about the pastimes of any ordinary, you know, mundane household life, and that's just not, you know, it's entangling actually. But if we hear about the pastimes of Krishna and the relationships between Krishna and his devotees, these are not mundane, but supra mundane, beyond the mundane. And within them is there are instructions for us, examples for us. So Prabhupada makes the point, when Arjuna transferred his love and affection from his family members to Krishna and serving Krishna, then his life actually was perfect. The same affection, but it just has to be transferred to Krishna. And so then Arjuna becomes famous as one of Krishna's most exalted devotees in a mood of friendship and affection. Then he went out and killed his family members. Not all of them. But he broke those ties. Very hard thing to do, actually, when you think about it. Very, very difficult thing to do is to break that family affection. Even as devotees, we still have affection for our family members. So long as they're not an obstacle in the path of devotional service. Which is interesting, because here it mentions, we hear about these pastimes of the Lord, and relish them, actually. And they have great potency. It's mentioned in the at the end of the chapters describing the killing of Hiranyaksha by Lord Varaha. Plenty of action in Krishna's pastimes. But it mentions there that actually those who hear and appreciate, just like it's mentioned here, those who hear and appreciate the spiritual and transcendental, the potencies of these pastimes of Krishna. What's the word here? The word is anumodate. Anumodate. I looked it up. Anumodate only appears in one other verse in the Bhagavatam, that word, anumodate. And Prabhupada mentions that in the translation, it means that anyone who chants about, hears about, or simply appreciates the extraordinary activities of the Lord will surely develop devotion for the Supreme Lord. It's one of the reasons why we hear the Bhagavatam regularly. Because regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and appreciating the characteristics and the qualities of the Lord means that we will easily make progress in Krishna consciousness. So easy, just by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. But it's mentioned in at the end of that verse, at the end of that chapter describing the pastimes of the Lord killing Hiranyaksha, that whoever hears these pastimes narrated by the devotees, then he can remove all of the sins that he's performed, even the sin of killing a brahmana. Right? So we think, you know, just walking around Tulsi, you can eradicate the sins of killing a brahmana. Well, also it mentions in the Bhagavatam, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can also eradicate the sins. And that's considered to be the worst sin in material existence is to kill a brahmana. So, anumodate, one who simply appreciates. But here Prabhupada also gives another angle on this word, anumodate. He says, one who supports a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement will also receive the benefits. So Prabhupada expands. Not just appreciates, but supports the devotees. Because, I guess, in one sense, a person who supports the devotees must appreciate their activities. And if they appreciate the activities of the devotees, that means they must then appreciate Krishna's position and Krishna's uniqueness. So this is one of the reasons why Prabhupada encourages us to engage in these activities, very simple activities, but extremely potent and powerful activities of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a means by which we can clear away the obstacles that exist in our progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada mentions that we have our regular business. And basically our regular business is to chant Hare Krishna, to worship the deity, to associate with the devotees, to create an environment where there is a sacred space of course, where all of these activities are going on, that's the sacred space. And hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Prabhupada calls this as our regular daily business. These are our regular activities. He said, if you do that, then you maintain your enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. He said, this is the formula for enthusiasm, is to just follow the regular daily activities, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with the devotees and live in a sacred atmosphere. Live in a temple, or make your home a temple, basically. That's the job of the householders, is to, one of the services of the householders is to perform some simple deity worship, and that way then revolve all of the activities of the household around service to the deity. And of course, in a community of devotees, Prabhupada established deities so that then the main temple deity becomes then the focus of the whole community activities. And so then they, you know, while we're at work during the week, we do our daily puja at home, but then for festivals and big events, we all come and gather and congregate and engage in basically these very simple activities. Not very complicated at all. Matschita matkata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mamnijam. Hearing and chanting, basically. And of course, you know, hearing and chanting is the basis of bhakti. The nine items of devotional service begin with Shravanadi. Right? In this way we become purified. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaya Udoy. The mood of love and affection for Krishna is given impetus, and it rises up like the sun, naturally, Prabhupada says, like the sun rises in the morning automatically. So similarly, if one engages in the process of devotional service, then automatically love for Krishna will rise up within the heart of somebody who engages in these activities. But regularly, Prabhupada says, this is our business, regular business. Rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, worship the deity, hear the Bhagavatam, associate with the devotees, and create a pleasant environment within which to perform devotional service. And as Prabhupada says here, certainly, those who do this certainly find it very easy to traverse the path of liberation and taste the nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So that's our business. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Ms. Jindra. Well, here's one way to understand it. Krishna is appearing as an ordinary human being, right? But Narada Muni knows that actually he is the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayana, right? Also, right? So he is underlining the point that even though Krishna appears like an ordinary person, he is not an ordinary person. Do you know what I mean? So on the one hand, he's being appreciative of and sensitive to the Lord's pastimes as an ordinary person, right? But at the same time, he's also saying, hang on a second, you're not an ordinary person. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're the source. And so it's mentioned in the next verse, the verse after, the one that I've just read from, that, and he's underlying that point again, that you're actually Lord Narayan because you're the source of the whole creation. You maintain it and ultimately you destroy it. So I know that actually you're not Lord Narayan. Right? You can't fool me. I know that you're Lord Narayan. But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it amazing? You're just behaving like an ordinary person. What are you doing that for? Like an ordinary king. And so, you know, and he feels that especially because he's a devotee who's visiting the Lord, and the Lord's treating him like he's a very elevated personality, like he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Brings out a special seat. It might have even been Krishna's seat, actually. He gives him his own seat. Krishna gives him his own seat and treats him like he's God. In fact, he calls him Bhagawan. Narada Muni's like, what's going on here? So, you know, I guess in the mood of a devotee, he doesn't want to get carried away by the fact that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, is now treating him like he's a very special person. So, like, you know, as a devotee, he wants to keep himself in that mood of dasyam. I think Narada Muni, at least in this situation, is demonstrating that his mood of service is as a servant. Is that right? He's not like Arjuna, say for example. Certainly not like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And certainly not like the gopis. Although he can appreciate it. Narada Muni can appreciate it. Narada Muni keeps himself always as a servant. When you think about it, what do you think?
Another way, on the top of what you're saying, is that similar to what Gauri Muni said to Krishna's father, that Krishna will be everything Narayan is, but more.
Yes, definitely.
Because Narayan didn't do.
Narayan doesn't do these things. So, but from Narada Muni's point of view, that's why he's calling him Narayan. Because that's his, what would you call it? Mood of service. Service mood. He can't see, just like the, you know, Krishna's friends in Vrindavan can't see him any other way other than as their friend. And will challenge him. You know, Narada Muni won't do that. Narada Muni won't say, come on, let's have a fight. Who do you think you are? You say you're a big man, I'm bigger than you. Only Krishna's friends in Vrindavan can do that to him. Narada Muni won't do that. That's not his. He calls him Narayana and offers his obeisances, respects.
The benediction that Sukadeva Goswami is describing, that by hearing his pastimes or speaking them or appreciating them.
Yeah.
You see it, for instance, in India, you know, many people hear these pastimes from childhood, and somehow, so there must be some quality.
They're not hearing from the right people. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada, this is in that last verse to the chapter on Hiranyaksha. Prabhupada makes the point that these pastimes have to be heard from the right person. They have to be heard from a pure devotee. They shouldn't be heard from a Mayavadi. Because even though the Mayavadis will talk about Krishna's pastimes, they don't believe, or even, you know, we see that people have Bhagavat Saptahara and so forth, but they actually still think that these are just stories or some mythology. You know, it's nice to hear. You know, they'll call their child Krishna, but they think, you know, they're Krishna and the kid's Krishna too. You know, we're all Krishna. And this is just my pastimes. I'm hearing about my past or some whatever, some wobbly kind of concept. So, well, Prabhupada makes a point that you know, they're just reciting the Bhagavatam as a business. Business deal. I'll recite the Bhagavatam, you give me some bakshish. Some dakshin. So then it's just like a business deal. It's not the... Yeah, basically. Yeah, because
Prabhupada says that we would appreciate it if we listen to people who obviously hold Krishna very near and distant.
Yes, that's right. And because there's a mood or a sentiment or a relationship that's imbibed from hearing from somebody who has a relationship with Krishna, they get the feeling for it. That's a fact. Yeah, good point. Rasvalasini. Yes.
It's also important the way we hear, eagerness to hear, and the mood. And there is a story with Gokarna, who was very simple. No, Gokarna was a good one. He had a brother who was very simple and he committed a suicide. So his brother Gokarna was very wise, and he knew Bhagavatam, and his brother appeared to him in a dream, and he said, please, narrate his Bhagavatam for 6 days. And
to release him.
Yes. And there were many sages around when he started narrating Bhagavatam. And Gokarna, his brother, he went into the bamboo stick, I think, and each day one bamboo stick will burst the knot. And on the 7 days, his brother was completely released and liberated. And the sages asked, what happened? He said, well, he was liberated by listening to Bhagavatam. He says, why you did not? Because you didn't hear so eagerly as he was hearing, because he was put in such a suffering condition, and he was really eager to hear. So it was important, the eagerness to hear. And
yes, we should suffer more. Suffering is a benediction for the devotees because it makes them then eager to get out of the material world. Mm-hmm. But yes, so 2 points there. There's the qualification of the speaker. We have to hear from the right person, and Rasvalasini's point is that in the case of Gokarna's brother, he was very eager to hear. So there's two qualifications required, the speaker and the hearer. No, we're supposed to stay awake. Sometimes we come for the Bhagavad Gita, they say, if you have insomnia, then the cure for insomnia is to come to the Bhagavatam class and then you have a good sleep. We see that sometimes, you know, the devotees who sit down, I do it myself sometimes, you sit down at the Bhagavatam class and been very busy, and then, you know, after 5 minutes, I wake myself up snoring. Like, oh, nobody hear me.
I was able to appreciate the person who I was hearing from, otherwise.
Yeah, keen to hear.